Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 229. This is part one, The Burden. Today is Saturday, January 14th, 2012. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from the studios of North Minneapolis, Pastor Paul's podcast. Actually, that's a microphone, computer, and some software. As we approach January 2012, I wanted to do something a little special for our January intro. So today I have with me here Pastor Paul. And I have some questions for you, Pastor Paul. Let me get my questions out here. Okay. Are you ready, Pastor Paul?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. There's been a rumor for about a year now that you are dead. Is that rumor true? Are you dead?
Actually, there's been, I've been dead three times this year, and I have to live that down, so to speak. But no, I'm alive, well, and kicking, enjoying life to the fullest, and doing what I'm supposed to do down here on the north side.
Okay, so in other words, I am talking to a real person. You are alive, and you are here today. Okay, so we got that out of the way. My second question, in connection with that rumor, when people come here to Pastor Paul's and they see all the hard work that you do, I hear them say something like, Pastor Paul, you're going to work yourself to death. Do you think there's possibly a connection between the rumor of your death and the hard work that you do here?
Not really. What I think is I don't have time for dying or time for getting old. I'm 80 years old, and I've never had the time to get feel that old. Keep yourself busy, folks, and during this time of real trouble in our country, keep yourself occupied. When you get up in the morning, clean the house and get yourself going, and start making plans for the day.
Today's message is called Why, and I want to ask you, why do you do the hard work that you do?
Oh, I love to work in the first place. I've always had my hand in a lot of things. But basically right now is not the time to lay down the plow, but to plow full speed ahead and to make this thing work. People out there in the country are in dire straits. We need prayer and fasting for them. I hope that you will pray and fast for me, and look on the bright side of things. Look on the bright side. Don't look at the dark side. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Start working on today and start praying and fasting and believing God for a miracle. That's what I'm believing for right now, with hardly any funding coming in here, people cutting out and running. I'm getting more food than I ever had in all of the time I've been down here. So God is really blessing us here on the north side. And that's how I feel about it.
Okay, Pastor Paul, my final question. We're entering a new year, 2012. What message do you have for your podcast listeners for the coming year?
Keep looking up. Keep helping one another. If you can help someone, do it, and God will bless you back. It's a time for sharing right now and caring for one another and make an example to people that we do care and we do love. This is a great country, and we're on the throes of making it even greater. That's my word.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. The messages for January are: why, serve, the burden, rock plows. Have a great new year. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled The Burden. Before we enter Malachi 1:1, the burden of the word of the Lord, let's again look back into the Psalms, Psalm 105:19. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. God has times, and his children must wait until his until is fulfilled. Until the time that his word came. See, God has times, and his children must wait, like I said, till his until is fulfilled. It doesn't happen overnight. And here he's talking about Joseph, and his brothers had sold him into slavery. Well, actually, they left him here to die. And he was taken into slavery, taken down into Egypt. There he was tried as in a furnace until I believe the Lord's assaying work was fully accomplished. He had to stay in that furnace of afflictions. Even the word of the chief butler, if you remember the story, meant nothing. He had to wait until God's word came. And meanwhile, the word of the Lord tried him. It's like you're in this work right here, right now, and you in any ministry where you're moving on in works. And you know that you have the vision for this thing, but there's a time. There's a time element involved, and there'll be trials, real heavy trials. The Bible bears this out in the end, especially when Satan's time and his end grows near. You will be tried in the furnace of afflictions to see if you're for real. Yeah. So the word of the chief butler here meant nothing. He had to wait until the word of the Lord, I said, tried him. So he believed the promise, but his faith was sorely exercised. You don't hear that message preached a whole lot. It says, believe the promise, stand on it, is what they say now, and give God a timetable. 2:45, I want it answered because I got other things to do. No. I mean, here we have a delayed blessing, and these delayed blessings test men. It proves their metal, whether they're tin or copper or whatever they're made out of. Whether their faith is precious or a precious kind that can endure the fire. I know our ministry is being tested, and it's in a fire. And you know, the beautiful part of this is that it continues to go on. Right in the middle of a fire. Oh, what a testing it is. One day added to another. I've spent the whole week running to and fro, and
running down little tips here and there, seeking ways and praying about how we're going to fulfill this, how God's going to fulfill His promise through us. And I read this scripture, and there is a time element involved. I mean, of a many a choice promise, I believe we can say then with Daniel, the thing was true, he says, but the time appointed was long. Did you hear that? The thing was true, the promise was true, but the time appointed was long. Well, maybe he'll even die and the promise won't be fulfilled in this lifetime. I mean, if a vision is to tarry, I believe it's good then to wait for it with patience. And then we must bear the one till the other one comes to us, right? I think there is a trying word and a delivering word. And so one will come before the other, and we have the trying word, and we must bear that one until the delivering word comes along. You waiting in your life, someone listening on the radio, for the delivering word to come? There's a time element involved. There is a suffering and a sacrifice involved. But it's worth it because it tries you to see what kind of metal you're made out of. Now, that's no sense in getting melancholy over it and getting all teary-eyed over it. I'm not talking that. I'm talking about enduring it with patience and saying, hey, God is going to get a lot of glory out of this thing. Say amen, somebody. God is going to get a lot of glory out of this thing because we're going to endure it and endure it patiently. And I know that there's a cost involved. Well, the Bible says, give your life. That's a cost. Of course, then when you give your life, what really then have you given? A lot of miserableness. So, I mean, the Bible says, just give your miserable self up and we can go on with the works of God. Are you feeling miserable? And give your miserable self over to God. Say, God, take me, use me. Doesn't that kind of cut it? Doesn't that take all the worry out of it? Though that he slay me, yet will I trust him. I mean, those scriptures, doesn't that take the worry out of it and the pretend out of it and then, oh, God, oh, Lord, why me out of it? And now I believe that this man was going through that very thing. How meekly we see Joseph in this predicament. He endured his afflictions. And then with what fortitude he looked forward to the clearing of his slandered character. Look forward to that, because deliverance will come no matter what someone has to say. You endure it patiently and deliverance will come. The world says every dog has his day. Well, just between me and you, radio audience, and people sitting in here, I'm waiting. This old dog is waiting for his day. I'm going to wait patiently and not do any biting. But I know it's coming. Well, maybe my deliverance will mean I'll go to heaven. Well, that's a deliverance of a sort, isn't it? Maybe that deliverance means tomorrow that the Lord will abundantly bless this ministry. Of course, He already has. To the wonder of many. But just maybe that time is over and that time element is over and God is ready for another move in our ministry here. If He tarries, will you wait patiently? And I think it will be better still if under similar trials like Joseph had, we are able to imitate him and come through the fiery furnace as thoroughly purified as he was. And as well, and listen real close to this, and as well prepared to bear yet a harder ordeal. And what would that be, pray tell? The ordeal of honor and power. God prepares his vessels, and they have to go through the fiery trials of affliction if any good and perfect work is going to come forth, so that they can meet the yet harder ordeal of honor and of power. It's going to find out who can be trusted. Who's going to be in Gideon's army? Think about that. I'm not talking to people all over that are, oh, golly, things are just going like I got out of this. I went to faith school, hyper faith school, and prosperity teaching school, and went way down there south to these schools and everything. I come back up here and I find out I have trials. There was a young man bemoaning that fact downstairs. I got into ministry, and I don't believe the things that are happening to me. I said, believe it. Yeah, read it and weep. And so the burden. Malachi 1:1, the burden of the word of the Lord. Malachi had the burden of the word. Because these prophets of old, they were serious. They didn't run to and fro with tales. No, they carried a burden. There are so many so-called prophets of God running hither and thither and yon, prophesying and clucking around like old hymns over one another. And let me tell you, those that are truly sent of God will not trifle with the message or play with it. It will be to them a burden. My burden, my particular burden, is souls. I really believe, I know that I am sent to see souls saved. My real burden is to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, an almost forgotten message. Now I was standing with this young man downstairs, and I started to minister about, oh, we have left the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, how we must repent and return to ministering the gospel. And I got a witness all over my whole body, and so did you. Standing there, I said, you know who's in this very room right now? And he said, who? I said, you're getting a witness all over your body. He says, I certainly am. I says, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of truth, has pierced this room. I have the burden of the word of the Lord. Where were you when I was sick, a prisoner, and a widowed? Where were you when I was a hungered? I have that burden, and we have that burden here in this ministry. There are so many that profess to be servants of God, but make light of their work. Oh, I'll skip a day or this or that. And I so appreciate the people in this church. The other day, I was talking to someone, they said, my goodness, you've got a small group, but they're so dedicated. Well, I said, that's all it takes, is a dedicated few. And I says, I really believe the eye of the Lord is upon the very dedicated few. Say amen, somebody. Now, I have to believe that God is watching over when I see these miracle after miracle after miracle of finance happen. When I see food and tonnage come in. I have to say, praise the Lord. I don't take my work lightly. See, I think there's a lot of preaching and no practicing. Actually, the preach is in the practice. People are persuaded, it says, when they see, behold how they love one another. I mean, they practice. They don't talk about it. They don't talk about it, and they get into studies on Corinthians and get into love messages and all of this, and they don't go endless studies on love. I mean, either you do or you don't. Do you go to school to study how to love somebody? Now, this is the way you love somebody. No. No. You either love or you don't love. It's cut and dried. And the only love you have is what God puts in you. Whew. Yeah, a lot of preaching and no practicing. A lot of reading of books, but never get the real burden themselves. Oh, I was reading about, and this was way back, oh, and they did this, and they fed the 5,000, and then that wasn't counting the women and the children and so on, and all, and it was just so great, and on, and flannel board and chalk and all this junk. And they get temporarily inspired. We can see them at certain meetings. I used to kind of see people, they would fidget in their seats. They would get temporarily inspired, like, woo! Woo, that's what I would like to do. Woo! And they just, woo! I got the burden, I got the burden. They'd run outside and they were running as fast as they could, and by the time they hit the door, they lost the burden. Do you believe that? Now all of a sudden you see them, they're sitting. They have lost the burden. Down they go. Well, I thought you were all excited. I don't know. I guess I lost it. It's a good thing you can't lose your salvation, isn't it? That's when people think they lose their salvation, when they lose their burden. Well, when they lose their burden, they lose their love. When they lose their love, they lose their obedience, because if you love me, you'll obey me. Yeah, temporarily inspired by books, by meetings. Oh, did you read this book? Oh, this book. We went out the other night, Mick and Lish, myself, and there was a waitress, she was inspired by a joke book. And they were clean little jokes, and she kept running up the table. She was inspired by it. And I thought, wouldn't that be nice? I was thinking that people would be inspired by the Word and have a burden for the Word of God. And then she couldn't remember it, so she'd ask the other waitress, what was it now? What was it? Come on, tell me. Huh? I believe our message here on the north side is weighty. And like the prophets of old, it is a burden of the Lord. And if we don't find our ministry to be a burden now, how will it be during the dry? The Bible talks about the dry and the hard times, which are coming. Times of pestilence. Times of hunger and persecution, times of sorrow and times of tribulation. I'm talking real tribulation, real sorrow, persecution, hunger, and pestilence. Because you see, a ministry that never burdens our heart or our mind or our conscience, it's no ministry at all. We don't have a burden for that. My sister's out picking up bags. Well, I believe you have a burden for it, because I come in here on Friday night and there's always bags in here. Right? I believe Jim has a burden because I can look out there at 5 or 10 after 5. The bus is always gone 7 days a week. Would you call that a burden? The problem is, and Carolyn, and Janine, and so on, Don, Mick, all you people that are sitting in here tonight. The problem is that the Christian doesn't have the burden. And the one that has the burden, people burden them all the more with junk. Oh, all. You want a burden, huh? And they throw junk on their back, like you're a panhandler or something. Throw it on them, huh? Well, my God is able. Keep throwing it on just as hard and fast as you can. I'll take the burden on. Say amen, somebody. Then as I stand in the fire, all that junk is going to burn off anyway. But it's no ministry at all if it doesn't have a burden. It's like someone going to their job and they're not interested in their job. That means they don't have a burden for that job. And so someone is putting out twice as much as they are because this person doesn't have, oh man, which way is it to the toilet, to the library, to the restroom? That's why they call them restrooms. People really don't go in there for any other reason but to rest. They don't have the burden. Our country, the world does not have a burden. It's a self-pleasing self type of thing. It's a people-pleasing thing if it doesn't have a burden. If you're ministering to a whole lot of people that don't have a burden, you got to continually please them. Oh, no. We're going to have Dr. So-and-so, and he's going to bring all his charts and all of his findings. Isn't this wonderful? And then they get all done with that. Then they have somebody else come and prophesy over their dead, useless bodies. And somebody else come, and somebody else come, and somebody else come, and praise meetings, and sing meetings, and sung songs, and running off to Disneylands, and running here, and running there, because they don't have a burden. Totally useless is the Christian that doesn't have a burden. I mean, it's so shallow. It's shallow now. What's it going to do in the dry times? Dry up altogether? I mean, if Christians right now don't have a burden, what are they going to do when the dry time comes? We're in a wet season right now. What is the body of Christ going to do when a dry time hits? Where is Joseph's ministry of storing up so much grain for the 7 bad years? What are we going to do when the real time and test and trial comes if we can't stand now? Oh, and they sing, fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Are you sure that you'll be able to drink of that cup that the Lord gives you? All servants of the Lord, let's mean business. Let's not pretend at preaching. Let's not play with it. And let's say, help me, God. Help us to be not just talkers, but pleaders. Because God, you have sent us to be preachers of the word in season, out of season, when it's handy and when it isn't handy. But then to tell the truth also in love. We have an errand to run. Well, we run the race. We're running right through this old planet. God knows I know that when I look in the mirror, I'm running through and running out. I suppose up till about 28 or 30 you're running in, but then there's a point when you start running out of the woods. There's body changes. There's attitude changes. There's a whole lot of things that take place in your chemistry. And all it does is point out that you're on an errand and you're running that errand. That you have a heavenly telegraph to share. A beautiful message to shout. Well, don't we have something to say? Oh, Lord, I believe it presses us. And we must say it, woe is it unto me if I preach not the gospel. Well, that's what's wrong. We don't have a burden for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a burden of how we're going to raise money to go someplace to hear some other kind of teaching. It has nothing to do with the gospel of God. I'll tell you Sometimes I believe that the word of the Lord is a fire in my bones. Did you ever get fired up? Now even the world says that. Boy, that guy was sure fired up. They quote scripture all the time, don't even know it. Now, it must have a vent or I would be consumed sometimes. I have to be in this work. I have to have that burden. I lose that burden, I lose my interest. I lose that interest, I lose my life. Doesn't this truth press people into action? They can't escape it. See, it's their life. If they are servants of the Lord, they be like Paul. Paul says, we must speak the things which we have seen and heard. They told him, we want you to shut up. Do you know what that means, they told Paul? Paul, we want you to keep your mouth shut. And he said, what do you mean, shut up? I must speak or burn up. My bones are smoking. Now, true servants of the Lord have no reputation. None. Nothing in self to boast about. No strutting boots. No goose steppers. No feathery hats, plumes. Hey, true servants of the Lord have something to carry, something worth carrying, some solid truth. No ice cream messages, no froth and no foam, no silk pillows to lay on. Because what true servants have to share is a pretty heavy message. It concerns heaven and hell and time and eternity. We above all men in the world ought to speak in earnest. We must not take our message lightly. If there is anything in what a man has to say, then God, if there's nothing in what we have to say, God hasn't commissioned it. But let me tell you, the true servant of the Lord has a heavy weight to bear. He carries within his bones and within his body eternal realities, not a sack full of feathers. His foot hits the ground, and it hits the ground hard. Because you know why? He moves beneath the burden of the word of the Lord. He's burdened with. Sometimes people even say, well, what are you so sad about today? You're not sad. You got a burden. You're thinking about this burden of doing the work that God has got you to do. But listen, God's true servants who have this burden do it. And you know what? They do it happily and willingly. No complaining, no murmuring. I had a gal today that was working downstairs, and she is a murmuring in this woman I've ever seen. So finally I told her, I said, sister, you are the complainingest woman I believe I've ever met. You're murmuring all the time, and you're setting off these people down here. Stop murmuring. Now, I believe we must carry the burden of the word of the Lord. And I'll have to say that sometimes we're all tempted to run away, aren't we? When people start acting screwy, well, that's not a very good word. I mean, can't you find a better vocabulary, Pastor Paul? No, that's a perfect word. When people act screwy, I get phone calls and they say, now I've heard you and I know you can speak with more debonair than that. I believe that you could polish up your words. I said, screwy, and I mean it. When people act screwy, you want to run away. When people sit down in the middle of a track, in the middle of a work, and you're going and you're in the middle of work, and they sit right down in the middle of the work, in the middle of the track. You got to run around them, work around them. You ever try to work around a sluggard that's dragging their own weight, their own flesh around, and you say, God, it'd be better if he did. Just get out of the way. But mothers say that to their kids all the time. Okay, I'll do the dishes. And he never has to do the dishes. And she, I always have to do everything, huh? Will you just get out of the way? I'd rather do it myself. So the kid gets smart and does it all the time so that mother will say, I'd rather do it myself. And people do the same thing with their Heavenly Father. When some back off, all of a sudden they're going full stream. Man, this is a great race. Whew. I'm getting my second wind. Huh? And all of a sudden they're sitting on the sidelines. What happened to that second wind? And you feel like, preachers, you feel like running away. Flying off them to the land of Ubladi. When some become spiritual sluggards and seek a rocking chair and sit down like Whistler's mother. When some iced tea it in the backyard and go AWOL from the burden of the word of the Lord. I don't know how people can go AWOL from a burden of the word of the Lord. I'd be so miserable if I took off. Because you're taking off with a burden of the word of the Lord, and you can't lose it. It'll go right with you. And only now you can't stand it because you're off someplace hiding. You're down in the belly of a ship, soon over the side and into the belly of the whale. When Rocky 1, 2, and 3 is more important than Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When making money takes first place. When churches argue over who's the greatest. Well, the Lord says, the one that's least. Those that think they're going to be first will be last, and those that think they're going to be last will be first. When people in a family become bitter and selfish, I say to myself, and I've said to myself, I wish I were out of it. Have you said that, any of you in here? I wish I was out of this. Just give me a broom, and I'll just sweep up a little room, or I'll do some kind of a task, or pump gas, or go back into business, or whatever. Give me a mower, or give me a way out, God. Oh yes, and it's tempting, isn't it, preachers? We want to run away and hide and suck our little thumbs under the porch. Well, everybody's yelling, where did the preacher go? Where did Tommy, little Tommy go? Little Polly go? And yell, Polly, Tommy, Tommy preacher, Polly preacher, where are you? Sit under there with that little blue blanket and sucking on our thumb. Is that what you want to do, retreat to that kind of thing? To jump on a boat like Jonah and run off to Tarshish? But then I remember to myself, whales are scarce. I pray to God. I become ashamed. Have you felt this way? I say, Father, forgive me. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Because every once in a while, right in the middle of everything, whenever people get screwy and things aren't going just the way they should, that thought comes. Maybe you've taken the phone off the hook. You didn't want to talk to anybody. When they called, you put it way out here. You didn't want to hear their tales of woe. Did you try and run away from your family and your church and your responsibilities? Did you find that you had to run away from certain things, maybe even? Because you had a burden, and the burden of the word of the Lord was upon you? Maybe you tried to cut your burden in half, and now you only witness half as much. You only go to church half as much. You only give so much time, half as much time to the Lord, half as much. You only counsel half as much. You only pray half as much. You only think of God half as much. And have you found then too that going with this half as much, half a burden, is actually more of a burden than going the whole burden? It's like sitting down to eat and eating until you're half empty. Or drinking until you're half thirsty. Or stopping up one ear or plugging some cotton in one nostril. We're binding up one leg or one arm. It's the same with the message of God. You're not happy until you have a burden. And when you have the burden, you got to carry that burden. There's a time of testing and trial. But full burden people will always be tempted to run. But I'll tell you one thing I know, and I know it as a fact. It's easier to give your all than just to try to have half a burden. Well, you're tempted. But by who are you tempted? By you're tempted by the devil. And people that are not truly commissioned of God to go all the way, oh, they're out there. Why are you working so hard? And this gal was down there today. Well, slow down, everybody. Why is everybody working so hard? And this whole table's down there wrapping up these great big old turkey tom necks, you know, wrapping them up. And why is everybody working so hard? Take it easy. I said, sister, these people have got a burden to get this job done. And you're not commissioned to do this thing. And so you're standing here with coffee. I says, go out in the front room and take a real break. Give us all a break and take a break. Is it break time yet? You ever been around somebody like that? Is it break time yet? What time is it? What time is it? Break time? Break time? Break time? Break time? It's like break dancing. Huh? And do everything but lay on their back and screw their body up, right? To get out of a little work, and they don't want to be burdened with it. And so they go out. I said, for God's sake, go out and take a break, a long break. Just break away altogether and go out and sit in the cornfield. When the rapture comes, you'll be raptured up with corn husks on your feet. Just go. I'd rather cease to live than cease to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and lose that burden. And if they come to me and said, Paul, would you want to be president of General Motors? I'd say, oh, I can't stoop to get down into that. I have a higher calling and a higher commission to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.
There you have it. That was part one, the burden. Be sure to listen to part two tomorrow. Have a great night.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict, dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.